Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Hughes from the Corporate Marketing Group here at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of WWT's Tech 17 podcast series. Our Tech 17 series brings together subject matter experts from WWT, our partners, and also our customers to discuss important topics on today's IT landscape. So today we're going to be talking about two topics that are very much in the news and have been talked about a lot recently in the world of technology. That is big data and Internet of Things, otherwise known as IoT. So to talk about these topics today, we have three subject matter experts from here at Worldwide Technology. First, we have Jamie Milne, who is a engagement manager with the Big Data and IoT practice. Chandler Heath, a technical solutions architect from the IoT practice group, and Lisa Friedrich Reitz, business development manager in the manufacturing sector here at Worldwide. So Jamie, Chandler, and Lisa, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us in.
Great. So as I mentioned before, the two topics, big data and IoT, get talked about a lot. It's really a lot discussed a lot in the IT sector with our customers and with all organizations. So just to maybe to kick things off for our listeners, if you could talk a little bit about what are the major differences between IoT or Internet of Things and big data. So Jamie, could you maybe start us off?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, The what it always comes down to, it doesn't really matter what the difference is between big data and IoT. It's really what we're driving towards. So if that's cost savings or adding new lines of business or reducing risk for whoever is going after it, whether that's whether you want to call it big data or you want to call it IoT, it kind of doesn't really matter, right? Like, the lines are blurred often. You know, maybe they go hand in hand. I think IoT really is more around bringing sensors together. It can be, you know, you can use more kind of traditional analysis. I think we've seen a lot of value in the past of just really presenting data. So not really doing kind of big data analysis or doing anything even necessarily in real time, but just kind of seeing what's available
from the sensors. I almost view like IoT providing the data for big data analytics, because, you know, you're taking that Internet of Things, that sensor data, you know, gathering that machine data and actually enabling then big data analytics to, you know, come up with something that is actionable to make that business impact.
Mm. Chandler, what do you?
Yeah,
what's actually, your take on that?
Yeah, and coming from a sensor background, you know, it's very apparent that we need data from sensors, from systems that exist today, and even brand new systems, to feed the models and the analytics that, you know, that big data is really designed around. So, you know, I see a lot from, we have things in the manufacturing where you've got, you know, legacy
exactly.
systems, and then we're adding new things to that. That data stream is critical to creating those models.
Yeah, those legacy systems, you know, you enable them with the sensors to be able to extract that data, because in a manufacturing environment, you know, those legacy systems have been there for 10, 20, maybe even 30 years. So putting a new sensor on that enables you to get, you know, real-time data out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're bang on. Like, it kind of leads to another, right? It's almost like you have your normal operations, whatever that is, making ice cream or you know, making deliveries or running a hospital. You add sensors to better understand that environment, and you can kind of get an idea of you know, how much ice cream you're making or how many how many deliveries you're making or have you. And then big data on top of that also adds that additional piece. So it's rather than understanding just kind of initially what those sensor readings are, it's what are the patterns that we're seeing over time? Or how can we combine all those data sources together and give people a more kind of high-level view over their operations, rather than just this is one particular view of a particular sensor.
And then be able to take that operations view and make it into actionable tasks that maybe that line worker, you know, ice cream maker can do to make it more productive, you know, a higher yield, impact the bottom line of the business.
Right. I mean, they can take their sensor data that they've got today, but maybe they need to add some other pieces to that they don't have, and that can be easily done, really creating that large picture globally for an organization.
Yeah, I think maybe part of the part of the difference, maybe getting a little philosophical, but you know, big data has been around for a while, right? Like a lot of the algorithms that we use, and necessarily, you know, in academic circles, have been developed for decades. Whereas, I think IoT is still a little bit in its infancy, right? Like some, like a lot of the maybe a lot of the sensors exist, right? You can measure tilt right. fairly easily, but creating a sensor that's cheap, that can be that's rugged enough to work in a particularly harsh environment, and creating that communication channel for that to happen, I think that's only just starting to get.
That's exactly right.
Happen, right.
All of that's brand new. I mean, really, a lot of that data has just been streaming into nowhere, and now it's a matter of capturing that and transporting it securely back to an architecture where it can be looked at, along with other data too.
So maybe just to follow up a little bit on what you guys were speaking a little earlier, talking about how customers are using this combination of big data and IoT to be successful. So in your guys' experience working with your customers, how are customers leveraging IoT and big data to be more successful?
Yeah, I think, from a transportation perspective, you can really take any industry, collecting data that really has a common thread. Time is typically a common thread or a context. You're taking in GPS data for transportation, you're taking in engine data, and then you're also taking in parts of the business process, that are affected by that. And then you can look at that from a global perspective and start to see patterns and start to see things that need to be changed. And, as you start to change those things, you can measure that change, and resample and do things like predictive analytics. When's an engine going to fail? When's a transmission going to fail? When do we need to change the oil? Is the vehicle being driven properly? It's things like that you would not have that insight unless you were collecting it. And
yeah, generically, I feel it's just insights and visibility. That's what it provides you. And then, getting those insights and visibility, though, you need to make them actionable so you're actually impacting the business. You're taking them into predictive maintenance. So, you're avoiding downtime in an environment and making it so you're impacting the business from a production standpoint.
Yeah, I suppose you kind of touched upon, there's a whole range of different stuff that people can do. Like whatever you can dream, like you can put a sensor on it and you can analyze it, right? Like it's not,
exactly
like
right.
I think that's what we're seeing, real wide range of industries, real wide range of use cases, wide range of sensors, wide range of data, right? Like there's so many different ways that folks are going after this. I mean, one of the key drivers, I think, which is, to me, seems to be a key driver of any new technology or new innovative thing is cost savings. Right? A lot of folks are looking at this and thinking, all right, how does this, how does this make us a better organization? Right? How do we get to being the Jetsons? Right? Like that's like the goal of the future. Like the future is supposed to be shiny and easy and everything's taken care of. How do we make that step? And the easiest way to make that happen is by reducing operating costs, right? Or that's a quick win that people can get by focusing on those big areas of cost that they have. If they think, okay, here are our big problems, if we could just shave a little bit off this cycle time, or if we could just save one more machine per month from failure, that's going to have exponential knock-on effect within our organization. So I think kind of from a kind of strategic standpoint, I think that's how people are really leveraging it.
Jamie, if I could, there's been several references to sensors. So maybe if you could just kind of explain to our listeners who might not be familiar with it, what are sensors in the context of big data analytics?
Yeah, I mean, it could be the kind of example that I use often is like driving your car and you have a speedometer, right? That's a sensor. That just a very simple example that everyone's used every day to make sure they're within the speed limit or make sure they're getting somewhere on time, right? Is just looking at that value, and there's mechanics behind that piece, but that kind of gives you that like viewpoint into what your machine is doing. Machine in that case being your car. I mean, to continue the car analogy, your oil light is another sensor. So there's a kind of complex thing in behind there that knows exactly what the oil level is, and when it goes down to a certain value, it's going to provide an alert on that. So that's there's another sensor. or you know, getting a little, a little more into the future, or you know, really well in the present day, but getting more advanced, is like GPS is also a sensor. Mm-hmm. So your, you know, your phone, okay, that's a little more complicated than the rotations per minute on the axle of your car, but it's coordinating through GPS satellites and figuring out exactly where you are in your position. So it's really, you know, it kind of speaks to how pervasive a lot of this stuff is, but it's really anything that provides provides information on the state of whatever you're doing.
But we need to have Chandler chime into this, because I think his whole house is censored up. Yeah. But Chandler plays with sensors in his spare time.
Well, I was going to say before Chandler jumps in, I think we can all relate to the gas needed and oil change sensors in cars. So,
right. Yep.
But Chandler, it sounds like you've kind of extended that.
Yeah, extended. So
a little bit.
One of the things that I've done is built out sensor networks. So really to understand, you know, what context they can be used and taking the data in and understanding it. And there's also a concept of a virtual sensor, where you have multiple sensors that you may bring together, and all of the conditions that they report may actually report one value, whether it's good, not good, or good maybe within a range. You know, really simplifying you know, that whole collection process and processing to be able to say, you know, hey, I've got my engine is it's too hot. You know, the oil is starting to thin out, you know, it's going to seize up. Well, that's the check engine light that you talk about. That can be applied in things like manufacturing, for example, where you have things like vibration and temperature. Those two values are very commonly used together, you know, to predict failure, right?
Absolutely.
You have a motor, you've got, the motor is generating a lot more heat because maybe the bearings are failing, that type of thing. And we can actually see those waveforms and values coming out of the sensor and be able to do things like alert. Maybe the machine needs to shut down. Maybe it needs to alert somebody to, hey, the PM is coming up. Let's do it before it's scheduled to do, because we actually have data that can support that earlier interval.
Okay, great. Well, that's some great information kind of about, you know, talking about the topic and kind of, you know, where it's at right now. So, and maybe kind of current experience that, you know, we've had and our customers have had. So I kind of want to end the discussion on kind of two questions. One would be first, so thinking about, you know, different industries, different verticals, which of those, if any, do you think have the most potential for growth to, you know, leverage that big data internet of things?
I was going to say, well, since I'm here, I'm going to put my two cents in. But, you know, from a manufacturing standpoint, I mean, really, that industrial environment's kind of been siloed off from the rest of the organization. And so I really feel it's a huge opportunity there, because to be able to sensor some of that old equipment, get big data in there to analyze some of those things, I really think there's a huge impact. And, you know, with the economy in the U.S., you know, trying to help manufacturing get back in the U.S. and get some more people employed, I just really feel that the opportunity's there.
Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really pin down, right? Like, manufacturing is a real big one.
Yep.
But I think across, you know, every customer that we speak to, there's an IoT conversation to be had. I mean, even from just an operational standpoint, I had a discussion the other day around capacity in an office building. And creating a smart building. So, you know, pretty much every company has some kind of building that they manage, and there's people coming in and out of that building, and, you know, if it's multi-story, there's elevators, you know, there's going to be thermostats, and there's lighting and other pieces of that. So, you know, that's one example of just, it's just so pervasive that everyone's going to do it. I can't even recall the customer, but it's not important, right? Whatever industry they were in, it's a challenge that everyone's going to face. And then, you know, when you get into more specific things, if you think around healthcare, monitoring patient health, and, you know, the amount of sensors that are involved in hospitals, think about, you know, Chandler mentioned transportation. Yeah, it gave my fairly trite example of the car, but you can expand that to any trucking or freight solution or trucks in mining or things like that. You know, in education, we talk about tracking kids through school buses and understanding kind of, you know, the security use cases there as well. I mean, it's really kind of throughout.
It's almost industry agnostic, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because everybody keeps gathering additional data and additional data. So, you know, from a big data analytics standpoint, applying that modeling and that smart stuff you guys do, I mean, any industry could really take advantage of it. So even though my focus is manufacturing, you know, any industry could take advantage of big data analytics and make an impact.
Yeah, I think you're going to see, like, autonomous cars, you know, autonomous transportation is going to be a very large, there's going to be a large investment in that, but the number of sensors and the amount of data points and the amount of data that's captured in those types of, you know, use cases are, it's immense. So coming up with new ways to process that, doing it actually on the vehicle, you know, being able to send data sets back for later analysis, I mean, it's probably a big part of that. But I think if you look at a segment where you're going to see a growth in sensors and big data is going to be is in transportation.
Yeah, I mean, that using that transport example on autonomous cars, I mean, we saw the other week the Ford CEO got fired after, you know, amazing growth and amazing profitability. And why did he get fired? It's because he didn't invest in autonomous vehicles, right? It's an example of, you know, every company, in order to move ahead of their competition and kind of innovate in the market and create better solutions for their customers and operate better, has to invest in this stuff, or else they're just going to get blown out of the market by everyone else, right? And that's especially true with autonomous vehicles, but it's not difficult to see how that would be the case in preventative maintenance and manufacturing, right? Mm-hmm. When the margins are so tight, you really need to be on top of that, and, you know, even the smallest bit of difference is going to make a you know, make a huge impact for your company. So, I mean, I think that's our view, or my viewpoint, definitely. That it's really, you know, kind of sink or swim with IoT and big data right now.
I think you're limited by, you know, what you can dream. I mean, it's whatever you
Absolutely.
Can dream up. And, you know, I constantly think about how do I mash up different sources of data and different types of things to solve, you know, various problems, like watering my lawn, for example. You know, sensors in the ground, you know, that measure moisture, you know, that report back, that say, don't water the lawn because you just got 2 inches of rain, right? I mean, it's a pretty simple use case, but, you know, you mash that up with weather data, you mash that up with, you know, even from a community standpoint, I mean, there's so much that's possible.
Yeah, but to kind of Jamie's point, you know, if organizations aren't innovating, they're going to get left behind or not exist, right? That innovation has to occur, and big data helps you do that.
I think wearables too. My Fitbit just told me I have to get up and walk another 250 steps.
Well, speaking of the autonomous driving, I've heard all about it. I know it's coming, but I don't think I still don't know if I'm ready to be driving down an interstate about 70 miles an hour, and I look over and oh, there's a car with like no one driving.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm quite ready for that, but I know it's coming. So so with that, I think that kind of wraps up our discussion today. Again, I want to thank Jamie and Lisa and Chandler for sitting in with us today and having this great conversation. So thanks, guys.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Appreciate it.
Great. Well, again, that wraps up this episode of Tech 17. For our listeners, again, I want to thank you for joining us. So please subscribe to our Tech 17 podcast channel here at WWT. It is free, and it's available on iTunes and all podcast platforms. So there's a new Tech 17 podcast episodes are dropped on the first and third Mondays of the month. And if you subscribe, or even if you don't, you can go back and listen to previous episodes. And also, we do appreciate your feedback. So please go on Twitter, do hashtag Tech17. Provide us any feedback, responses, questions. We'd love to hear from you. And also, we have a second podcast channel, Tech 37, which is available as well. Again, free and has a lot of great content going back over the last 15 months or so. So thanks for listening today. Keep checking into Tech 17, and we will talk to you soon.